Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Thanks for being with us here on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. A year and a half after the Panama Papers revealed a network of tax havens used by celebrities and politicians worldwide, the International Consortium of Journalists released the Paradise Papers over the weekend. 13.4 million documents, mostly from one of the world's biggest offshore law firms called Appleby. Now, these documents reveal the offshore interests and activities of over 120 politicians, including the Queen of England, and also detail the financial engineering of 13 advisors and donors, even in cabinet members of President Donald Trump. They include Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, whose financial ties could have implications in the Russia investigation. Ross holds a stake in a shipping company called Navigator, and Navigator's top clients include a Russian firm called Sibor, controlled by the son-in-law of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now, Ross has denied any wrongdoing in an interview with the BBC on Monday.
I think the media has made a lot more out of it than it deserves. There's nothing whatsoever improper about Navigator having a relationship with Sibor. The fact that it happens to be called a Russian company does not mean that there's any evil in it.
Doesn't mean there's any evil in it, but Ross later said that he'll likely sell his shares in Navigator now. Gerard Ryle is here. Gerard led the international team that broke the Paradise Papers as the director of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Gerard, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
13.4 million documents, companies that specialize in setting up offshore companies and hiding the money of wealthy and elite people all over the world. What do these documents really show?
Well, what we're seeing here are basically the richest companies in the world and the richest people in the world and what they're doing to avoid tax in most cases. Now, is it illegal? In most cases, it isn't. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that the public shouldn't know about it. The documents come from a very high-end law firm, most of them from Appleby, which is largely based in Bermuda. And this is a company that specializes in setting up accounts in offshore tax havens for people who come shopping for a better deal.
So lots of people and companies are included in these revelations. Apple is on the list, so is Nike. Also people like Russian oligarchs, banks. Bono of U2 enjoys some tax havens. And also, as we mentioned, the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. What do the Paradise Papers reveal about his holdings?
Well, what we're seeing in the holdings, and we really did do a double take when we first saw it, is that he when he became Commerce Secretary, he divested himself of most of his interests, but he kept several companies, one of which was Navigator, which is a shipping company that does business with another company called Sibor, which is a Russian company that ships gas and oil. But the owners of Sibor include Vladimir Putin's son-in-law and also two Russian oligarchs that have been sanctioned by the U.S., Now, he says, again, there's nothing improper or evil in this. And I would, you know, also agree that it's legal. But I would have thought that this is a kind of information that people should have known about before he was appointed.
Is this the kind of financial relationship that falls under conflict of interest or potential conflict of interest or appearance of conflict of interest with an American adversary?
Well, again, I guess in the current climate, and it only becomes important. I mean, if he was in business with the son-in-law of the president of Iceland, for instance, there probably wouldn't be a big issue here. It's just in the current climate where anything to do with Russia seems to be big news. And, you know, again, I repeat, he's in business with the son-in-law of Vladimir Putin.
So there were also major revelations here about a wealthy Russian investor named Yuri Milner, who holds major stakes in Facebook and Twitter, other companies too. What did you learn about him?
Well, again, what we've learned from these documents, and again, these are documents from a law firm that helps set up these deals, is that the Russian state was an early investor in both Facebook and Twitter. Now, some of this information has come out in the past, but the fact that the money was coming directly from a bank that has been associated with Vladimir Putin is new and interesting.
So with all of these new and interesting revelations, there have been suggestions that there are ties back as well to the son-in-law of the president, senior White House advisor, Jared Kushner. What did you find out?
Well, again, Yuri Milner, who is the Russian businessman who basically was a conduit for some of this investment, also invested in Jared Kushner's company, and there's the connection. And again, all of this comes in a climate, I guess, of distrust, allegations that Russia, you know, interfered with the last election. I guess it's more the climate that makes this interesting than anything else.
Right, the climate, because again, legal and yet ethical considerations don't always turn on whether something is technically legal or not, especially as Americans' political concerns change. You know, it might not be knowable at this stage how much the world is missing out on taxes because of all these shelters and shell companies. But can we now narrow it down to the United States? Congress is getting ready to try to pass massive tax cuts, more than $1 trillion. How many billions of dollars are American taxpayers losing out on here because of all these shelters and shell games?
Well, what we're seeing from the documents is that the big multinational companies, the big American companies like Apple and others, are not paying the kind of taxes that that the public has been told they're paying. I mean, yes, they're paying, you know, billions of dollars, but effectively what they're doing is using financial maneuvers to make sure that a lot of the money that's earned overseas stays overseas and doesn't come back to the U.S. We were able to look very closely at Apple as one example, where basically they moved billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars that they had in Ireland to another shelter in Jersey, the island of Jersey.
Off of the UK.
Yes, and we're looking also at, you know, Uber and other companies. They're all in there, basically the maker of silicon implants. And it's, you know, I guess one of the biggest takeaways for me, certainly from these, is that the widespread use, basically everyone from the biggest companies to the smallest companies are now going offshore and, you know, using these financial maneuvers to minimize their taxes.
Gerard Ryle, International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, with some incredible reporting on 13.4 million documents revealing offshore tax havens and shelters used by some of the world's largest companies and wealthy people. Gerard, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.